My guest today is Dustin Campbell. Dustin, how are you?
I'm good, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on my show again.
Absolutely.
It's been like years since you were on my show.
It has actually been years.
Not like years. It's been years.
It's been a long while.
What have you been doing?
So I work on the C-sharp team, the VB team. I've spent the last significant part of my lifespan working on Roslyn, Project Roslyn, which was kind of a rebuilding of the C-sharp and VB compilers and the entire tooling stack for C-sharp and Visual Basic.
That was our last show years ago, was about you were in process of building that, and now it's pretty much finished.
It is finished. We shipped in Visual Studio 2015, so and now it's kind of the process of taking advantage of all of this, because shipping in Visual Studio 2015 meant don't change everything, and then try and make things feel kind of the same in some ways. Put some new experiences in there, so it's still, shows some value, but now it's let's do a lot more value.
Now you're taking advantage of the fact you built this Roslyn engine to build other things on top of it.
Right.
Yeah. I think what's really interesting about Roslyn is it's an example of, I'll call this the new Microsoft, is that you did so much of it in public.
Yeah. Well, once we got open source, we started out being very, very closed and very secretive about it, and then, through the transition and. We got it open source. But to be honest, at the very, very start of the Roslyn project, there were kind of some agreements we came to about, what were the goals of the project, what did we want to do, and I dug up these old emails about that, where they listed out the goals, and open source was on there. It was one of the very first. First goals back 6-7 years ago.
Right. That was crazy talk at Microsoft in those days.
Yeah, I mean the real reason behind it at the time was, to appeal to academia, right? We wanted to be involved in having a compiler that would be used in language research, kind of like Java gets used, the Java compiler gets used there. And so that was really the reason at the time. However, over the course of Roslyn, that the reason, or at least the primary reason, shifted. I mean, academia is still important, but it became a temperature in the world where if you wanted to be a language that was taken seriously, you needed to be open, right? Languages that are taken seriously are open, and that's kind of the way the world works today. So it was definitely on our schedule. And when we got to being open, then there were a lot of learnings. Of course, we started out being kind of half open, not really as open as we should have been. I mean, the source was there. The source was there, but we didn't really develop in the open.
Okay.
Which is something we wanted to do. We wanted to be there developing in the open, but we were kind of still on, we were on TFS and the back end and sort of mirroring source to it. And we were fixing bugs, and we kind of had half the code base in Git and half of it not, and it was kind of a mess.
So are you saying that you were making sure that it was presentable before you were willing to share it with the outside world by pushing it to GitHub?
It was just more of a staging thing. We got the compilers open sourced, but then the rest of the stack, all the way up through the IDE and IntelliSense and all of that, and how that builds on top of Roslyn, that was still closed source. It was about a year ago that we opened up the rest of that, and then we were on CodePlex at the time. Now, having moved over to GitHub, we decided to adopt a developer workflow, kind of like taking the TypeScript team as inspiration, and say we're going to adopt a workflow where we work pretty much like everybody else. We work like all the other developers.
Which is?
So we fix all of our issues that are there. We take everybody on the team submits pull requests. Nobody checks in directly into master. We all submit pull requests, just like somebody external would do. And it's not perfect. We're trying to make it better and better and better.
Yeah.
Our external contributors have the same, sorts of tools and ability to run tests and that sort of thing that we do. Again, we're making strides toward that and getting closer and closer to kind of nirvana for that, but it's a process.
I find the concept of external contributors to a Microsoft product is fascinating.
It's awesome.
How does that work?
We throw bugs up there or issues and say, hey, does anybody want to help out with this? Right.
Yeah. And that's what we do. Joe the plumber out in Ohio, and I think, I can fix that bug.
Right. And so I'll give you a good example of what that looks like. The other week, we had a bug, or it's a feature, right? And remember in Roslyn,
wait a minute, is it a bug or is it a feature?
No, this is really a feature. But in Roslyn, we had to try and replicate the entire IDE experience that came before, okay, as far as being in the editor, right?
Okay.
I want to make sure that all those experiences are there that we had before. And, you know, we went through that list and we kind of had to say when it came time to ship, and it was like, well, this one's not done. Is it really that important? And there were a couple that fell off the list.
Sure.
It always does. And one of the ones that fell off the list was a behavior we had in Visual Studio 2013 and prior, where if I type a multi-line comment in C#, so a slash star, star slash comment, right? Every time I hit enter, it'll insert another star on the next line.
Yes.
Okay, this is a behavior we had before.
It's not really necessary, just
it's just
a formatting.
But
thing.
It's nice, right? Because it keeps things kind of lined
especially
up.
Especially if it's more than a page, a screen full of comments.
It keeps things kind of nice and lined up, unless you write a box really easily, right? If you want to do those comment boxes. And that was just automatic in prior releases. And we'd had requests to turn that off, you know, and over the years. And so when it came time to actually do it, we said, you know what? No. Or just, this has fallen off the list.
Didn't seem enough bang for the buck.
It didn't seem enough bang for the buck, so we kept pushing it off in the schedule. There were lots of other things to get done, so and it finally fell off. And then last week or the week before, somebody submitted a pull request for exactly that feature. And then we came back and had some code review feedback for him and said, let's make these changes. And I came in and said, hey, actually, how about we finally add an option for it so you can turn it on and off? He's like, okay, fine. So he comes back and he's got all that done. And it was just like, sweet, merge. We're done with this, and so the experience is really, it's really been great for us. Where we can, engage folks. They're getting excited about our code base. They get to go do interesting things. We have, language proposals with prototypes coming on the compiler side, and for the IDE, things that, again, we kept pushing off, and somebody thought, that's actually really important to me. Uh-huh. I'm going to go do it, and I'm going to contribute it back. And
that's awesome.
That's really cool. We like it a lot.
So. Tell me about the reception to open sourcing all this stuff. People are seeing all the good, all the bad.
There's all the good, there's all the bad. I mean, it's
do people like seeing that, or are they nervous about the bad parts? What's the feedback?
There's certainly I would say that the good outweighs the bad tremendously. I think the bad is few and far in between when we come into that. I think the one thing that's been challenging for us mostly it hasn't been around bad feedback or negative attitudes on our issues and comments or anything like that. It's been more about the volume of feedback and trying to deal with it.
Uh-huh.
This is something we, especially on the language design side, and I said, on the C# language design team, and so we have all these issues with language proposals up on GitHub, and the amount of feedback is just difficult to process. And
right.
So, there's a couple of people on the team that really make that a priority for themselves, but it was something that we never dealt with in the past. And so something we're still learning to deal with and bring that back into the language design meeting to talk about the sorts of feedback we get there. So that's probably been the biggest challenge, is just getting ourselves to be able to deal with all of the interaction.
Do you find that it affects the way that you're coding? Now that you're basically coding in public?
It does affect the way I code. In the sense that I like to write code that looks good anyways. I was never hiding things under the rug. That's not me.
Okay.
So
I'm not accusing you of anything.
Don't make me come over there. I think it does change the way we focus on things. As we go through code reviews on GitHub, we look a little bit more at, we'll make sure this is clean, and how about we actually look at, this is probably not the best variable name, those kinds of things. We discuss them because there's an opportunity to try and make it, readable for the next guy.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing.
Next guy. There's also a lot more eyes on the code, right, that have ideas of that, of code that might have cross-cutting effects downstream, across the entire code base, because it's a big code base. It's hard to keep in your head. And so that's also helpful. I'm pretty satisfied, though, with how that goes. The one impact I've had from being able to code in the open is when people file bugs on issues, or even if they don't file on GitHub, or even if they don't, if they go to, say, like Microsoft Connect and file a bug, I've had interactions, we respond to those, and I've had interactions that have looked something like this, where somebody files a bug, and I come back and I say, totally totally correct. We should fix that. I've refiled this issue on GitHub for you. You can track it over here at such and such.
Or you can fix it yourself.
Well, no, but then I'll follow it right up with a pull request. Here's the code change that fixes that issue that you filed on
Microsoft
Connect.
Oh, that's
probably
a good feeling for these guys.
And more often than not, somebody has come on after that and taken a look at the code change and says, you know, I don't know the whole code base, but this looks, I could totally see how this would have broken and you know, how this would fix it. So that's been a pretty cool experience.
That is pretty cool. That's it provides ownership in in the code and maybe even converts somebody who, you know, people have put in that file bug fixes or file bug reports. They're not always friendly to us.
Right, absolutely. So
their motivations aren't always noble. I know they're trying to do good. We like bug requests and so on. I've noticed that that also you're releasing a lot more quickly, like a lot of the Microsoft products are. And I think that's partly a result of just the whole open source movement, the whole agile, the whole getting people more involved, getting faster feedback.
And the world moves faster, right?
Yeah, the world's done it, and Microsoft internally has done it as well, not just with your team, but with a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. In fact, I should point out that we have the GitHub repository for Roslyn right here behind us, if anybody wants to look at it. Tell us about what's coming up in your world. What new features should we be excited about?
In C# in general, in the language, there are some things coming up that we're looking at. We always are looking at a number of things, and some of my cohorts and counterparts, Mads Turgeson's gone out and shared a number of things that we're looking at, and also at the last Connect event in November, we talked about and showed an early prototype of pattern matching in C#, which would be a very cool feature to be able to switch on some expression and be able to decompose, values coming in, expressions coming in, and return those easily in very, very succinct syntax, something you might get out of a more functional language like F# or Pascal or something like that.
Much more succinct than regular expressions, for example.
Right. So that's something we're looking at. And another cool thing about being open source is that all that's public, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of the information, the prototype is in a branch that you can go build and try out yourself. So there are some features, interesting language features coming that we're having a lot of discussion on if you want to get involved, go to the GitHub site and get involved in some of these language design discussions. On the IDE tooling side, which is where my heart lies, right, which is about, I find the IDE way more interesting to work in. I like compilers. I like building compilers. But compilers are always worried about correct code. And the IDE is always worried about incorrect code when you've typed a dot and your program doesn't compile. We still need to show, proper IntelliSense.
Yes.
So there are a lot of things we're looking at there. As part of Visual Studio 2015 and Roslyn, we put in this whole framework for building what we call diagnostic analyzers and code fixes and refactorings into the product as an extensibility mechanism, using the Roslyn APIs to kind of be able to build those. With that, we're able to go and build a lot of new functionality, a lot of new fixes, a lot of new analyzers. We're looking very heavily at that space, trying to figure out, okay, what are the right sorts of things? What's the sweet spot for the problems that people are having? Can we write analyzers to detect those at compile time or at design time in the IDE, and then little light bulbs that pop up with fixes to fix it for you immediately? That sort of experience.
Those light bulbs are getting smarter and smarter with every release.
I hope so. But we're doing a lot of work there. We're also taking a strong look at what we call the developer inner loop. So what I mean by that is, when you're working in Visual Studio, when you work in most workflows have some sort of looping mechanism, and we consider the developer inner loop where you're editing code, you're building and testing that code, you might come in and search for something to find a bug, and these various activities that you go through over and over and over again in this tight loop for a developer. Those are places where we like to invest. We kind of look at those basically the feature areas that would increase the productivity in that developer inner loop. And so my team's looking at a lot of areas there to invest where I would say there are features that have become commodity, that have become kind of the new standard for what people expect to find in an IDE or an editor when they first open it to use a language. The bar for that has gone up,
right?
From what it was, say, 5-10 years
ago.
Sure,
there are competing editors, there are plugins for Visual Studio.
Absolutely.
And people say, that's awesome, that should be in the product.
But you open up an editor like Sublime Text or Atom or Visual Studio Code, and it's a way better experience than what we have, say, just opening up Notepad, right? Or traditional text editor. So the bar is raised there, and we want to go and take a look at, well, what are the features that are in that bar that we just don't have out of the box in Visual Studio? Going along with those analyzers and code fixers, it would be great if we had, you know, coding style enforcement, right? So if I say I want my variable names to start with an underscore, I should be able to define that for a particular project, get a squiggle when I don't, you know, adhere to my rules, and get light bulbs to fix it for me and fix it for me everywhere,
okay.
That sort of thing.
That sounds like a feature that Roslyn, having Roslyn in place would help you to implement.
Exactly, exactly. And so that's the sort of thing we're looking at, you know, coming ahead on the IDE side. That's just an example of something, but yeah. We're looking at a bunch of stuff.
Very cool stuff. You have an online presence, do you not?
I do.
What is it?
I am on Twitter at D Campbell. I've been on Twitter long enough to have D Campbell. I'm Dustin Campbell on GitHub. So that's mostly where I kind of spend my days.
Dustin, thanks for spending time with us.
It's great to see you, David.
And thank you for watching Technology and Friends.